I invite you to turn in the Word of God this morning to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Once again, we have the privilege of reading together the Word of God. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you will call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of the evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good, and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. Amen, and may God bless the public reading of his word this morning. We have been considering, during this past few weeks, what wisdom is, and why wisdom is something that we should seek to consider. But is it really worth seeking wisdom? Is it really worth heeding her? Is it worth paying attention to wisdom? Going on the basis of the majority of people in our society today, the answer is simple. No, it's not. It's not worth making any effort to listen to wisdom. It's not worth making any effort to be attentive to wisdom. It's pointless. It's futile. There is no reason why you should listen to wisdom. So this is a serious question. If most people in our society today are saying that wisdom is not something that we need to really seek after, then we are either extremely odd or we are right. And it's necessary, since we only have one life to live, Psalm number 90, and that life is short, that we certainly don't want to be living it wrong. Are we getting it wrong in seeking to pursue after wisdom? Is pursuing after wisdom of any real benefit to us? Or is it a waste of time? We want our young people to grow up and to have healthy, enjoyable lives, to make good relationships, good friendships, and to enjoy their lives. It is incumbent upon us to make sure that what we give to them is what is wise. It's very, very dangerous and very serious of us to give them something that would lead to a life that is not filled with enjoyment. What parent would want to give to their child that which would not be of value to them. It just doesn't make any sense. So we've got to be very clear that the route that we're taking is a route that merits serious consideration, that is a route that is of benefit to our lives. Otherwise, we need to stop doing it. For if there is a better route, then we have to find out what that route is, and we have to put our energy into pursuing that route. We have to give our energy to that route, whatever that route is. We only have one life. And to engage in anything in that life that is not going to bring us the most enjoyment that we can bring out of that one life, to chase after something that is going to be to our detriment and not going to fulfill us, then common sense tells us that we need to stop doing that and seek after that which is right. God tells us explicitly in His Word that the root of pursuing after wisdom is the only beneficial way of living life. God tells us that if you want to have a life that is marked by joy and pleasure, that that life can only be attained through the pursuance of wisdom, which leaves you with the conclusion: do I take the word of the God who made creation and who sustains all life, including my life? Do I take His word for it, or do I root through another word way? That's the challenge. Do we, will we, are we going to accept what God, the creator and sustainer of our life, says, or are we going to go our way? God says explicitly that His way, the way of wisdom, is the way that leads to joy, pleasure, and prosperity. Let me give you three reasons why, from this passage, God says that wisdom is the only beneficial way of living our lives now, and that wisdom is the only beneficial way for living our life in eternity. Our life now. Three reasons why wisdom is the only beneficial way of living our life now. And then we will look at wisdom and the reason why it is the only beneficial way for living our lives in eternity. And then, if we have time, we will look and see how do we then gain this wisdom if it is such importance to us. Wisdom cries out the only beneficial way for our lives for the following three reasons. Reason number one, it gives us access to God. It gives us access to God. Chapter 1, verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you, and I will make my words known to you. Because I have called you and refused to listen, have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded. Verse 23 is the key verse. Those who seek after wisdom, those who heed the gospel, will, by God's grace, receive the Spirit of God, verse 23, and the words of God, verse 23. And in receiving the words of God and the Spirit of God, They will have a relationship with God established in their life. We are all born separated from God. We are all born, God tells us, as aliens from God. We are born without hope and without God in this world. Those are the words of God. Ephesians chapter 2. We are born under the condemnation of God. It's not that condemnation will be a future prospect. God says that every human being now is born under the condemnation now as a present reality. It's not that come the day of judgment, God is going to get out the book and look up all the plus points and all the minus points, and then he's going to draw a line along the bottom and see, are we in the plus category or are we in the minus category? And depending on whether we're in the plus category or the minus category, then make a pronouncement upon us. That's not the way it's going to work. Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he tells the believers there, and he tells us, and it's God speaking to us, that we are already condemned because of the sin that is in us. It's a present condition of every human being. Seeking after wisdom, pursuing the gospel of Jesus Christ, changes that status forever. Because when the Spirit of God is poured out upon us, and when we come to an understanding of God's Word, and when the Lord Jesus Christ brings us from death to life, we no longer stand condemned. We are then ushered into a new and a living hope, the Word of God tells us. We are made, literally, alive in Jesus Christ. We are made alive in Jesus Christ. What a benefit that is in itself. But why is that important? What's the point of that? Well, if you look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 27. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, here he's speaking about people who have no access to God because they have refused to accept the wisdom of the gospel. He says in verse 28, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. When your world is cascading around you, when you're in real need, whether because of a financial situation, whether an emotional situation, whether a relationship situation, whatever cause of the calamity of your life, God says, those who do not have a relationship with Him because they have not pursued after wisdom, verse 29, they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Because they would not listen, God gives them over to eat of the fruit of their way. God gives them the fill of their own choices, he says in verse 31. God will not hear, nor will he answer, though they seek him diligently. Though they cry out to him, he will not listen. What a terrible plight for the person who has rejected Jesus Christ. What a terrible status to be in. What a terrible position to be in. For the person who has come and they have heard the gospel, and they have heard the word of God, and they have heard the wisdom of God, and he has proclaimed it to them, and he has done so with power, he has done so with energy, he has done so by his Spirit, and they have turned their backs on it, then they will receive the just reward for their choices. That's why we pray for God to have mercy on them. To have mercy on them. But for those who receive wisdom, for those who have accepted wisdom, for those who are living according to the ways of wisdom, they have access to God. Chapter 2, verse 7. He stores up wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. The man or woman, the young man, the young woman, even the child who comes to receive wisdom and accept wisdom and to live in the ways of wisdom, they have the unbelievable experience of having a relationship with God. A relationship that's marked by safety. A relationship that's marked by a guarding. A relationship that's marked by a watching over. God is a God who is proactive in the lives of his people. He is a shield who protects them against the one who would seek to prowl around and tear them to shreds. He is one who guards the path that they walk on. He is the one who dispatches his angelic order to protect and to provide for those who walk in the ways of wisdom. This is not a hypothetical scenario. This is not make-believe storytelling. This is not the everything will go well in the end story. This is the reality of what God does in the life of a man or a woman or a young person. How many of us who are believers in Jesus Christ have experienced the truth of these words, that he has shielded us. On occasions, he has guarded our paths. He has watched over us. On occasions, we have made a decision that hasn't been that good. And yet God, whilst allowing us to go into that situation, hearing our pleas and hearing our cries for relief, has lifted us out of that situation and has blessed us. Has blessed us. Only eternity will tell. Only heaven will show the number of times in our lives when we were under real danger. Real danger. And God stepped in and said, no, you're not going to take this person. You're not going to have them. You're not going to destroy them. You're not going to play with them. You're not going to toss them up in the air as though they were a rag doll and allow them to come back down to the ground and then pick them up again and throw them. You're not going to let you have that. You're not going to get doing that to them. This is a child of mine. This one walks in my ways. This one has sought wisdom. This one has pursued after the ways of righteousness. I'm not allowing you to do that to that individual. This is what this says. In everyday life, the protection that is afforded the individual who walks in the ways of wisdom, it is inestimable how much God has protected us, how many tears he has saved us from, how many anxious moments, how many distraught and fraught evenings, because he has been our shield, because he has guarded our path. And those when they're in calamity, those when distress and anguish comes upon them, those when terror like a storm strikes them, when they call out to God, what will God do for them? Nothing. Nothing. He will not be a shield. He will not be a guard. He will not watch over them. He will let them go and receive what they want. By their choices, He will go and let them receive what they want. What a benefit it is to walk in the ways of wisdom. To be not left to go the way that we want, but rather to be guarded by the power of Almighty God. The second benefit we receive from seeking after the wisdom that cries out in the streets is this: we receive understanding. Understanding, verse 9, of what is right, what is just, what is equitable. We receive understanding of every good path. When wisdom comes into our hearts, we receive understanding. It's not easy to know how best to live life at times. Not everything is written out chapter and verse for us. Sometimes it can be difficult to make the right choice. It's not always a case of it being black and white. There are emotional factors that come into our lives. Pressures that we alone understand. People looking in us say to us, well, why? It's an easy decision to make. You can do this and you can do that. Why not do this? But they're not familiar with the emotional pressures or the historical baggage that we bring. But God says to us, that those who seek after His ways, the ways of wisdom, they will receive understanding. That there's actually a process that goes on by engaging with God and His Word, by which God builds up within us an understanding of what is right. An understanding of what is just, an understanding of what is equality, an understanding of the good path that we should walk on. Yes, every human being has within them and in their heart, implanted by God, a knowledge of right and wrong. Every human being has that knowledge of right and wrong. That's why we don't all have to be taught that it's wrong to do certain things. It is in us as people who are made in the image of God. But beyond that, when we seek after wisdom, when we pursue wisdom, when we desire to know the ways of God, God says to us, I, by the Spirit, it's an echoing of what He says in verse 23 of chapter 1, I, by my Spirit, will reveal to you my words in such a way that you will understand, that you will see more clearly what the right thing to do in any given situation is. You will have a grasp of what is right. You will have a grasp of what is just. You will have a grasp of every good path. And why is that so important? Well, it's so important because in verse 10, it's those who have a grasp of these things that have pleasure in their souls. It's those who have a grasp of wisdom and knowledge of God. They will receive that which is enjoyable to their lives. And if the bottom line of our life is to seek a life that is enjoyable, then the only way for us to obtain that enjoyment is to submit to the wisdom and the will of God. Because God says, when you submit to my wisdom and my will and my way, then you will gain understanding of what is right and just and true. You will gain an understanding of every good path. And then when you commit to that way of wisdom and you walk in that good path and you make those decisions based on that right understanding, then you will receive pleasure in your soul. Why? Because God knows what we need. He has made us. He understands us. Sin doesn't bring pleasure to the soul. Sin brings a temporary pleasure to the eyes or the ears or the hands or the feet or the tongue or to the mind. But sin doesn't bring any pleasure to the soul. You just listen to people who have devoted their lives to willful, deliberate breaking of the law of God, and you will look at them and they are hard people. They are physically hard. You look at them and guys that you think are 60 are really 45. They're emotionally hard. They're emotionally hard. There's no softness in them. They're at war with everybody. There's no joy in their lives. There's a bitterness. There's a deep-rooted bitterness in their lives. Whereas the way of those who walk in righteousness, who gain understanding through their engagement with the way of wisdom, they have pleasure in their soul. They are at peace with their Maker. The world may be cascading around them, but because they have access to God, and because through God's Word and by the work of God's Spirit in their life, they have an understanding, this knowledge will be pleasant to them. That's why it's beneficial to seek after wisdom. The third reason why it's beneficial to seek after wisdom is it not only gives us access to God, access we would not always have. It's not only because it gives us a knowledge and an understanding of the way of righteousness, which brings us joy and pleasure. But thirdly, there is, in pursuing after wisdom, that which will bring us deliverance. Deliverance. Deliverance from what? Verses 12 to 19. As we pursue after wisdom, discretion will watch over us, verse 11. Understanding will guard us. So we will be delivered from the way of evilness. We will be delivered from men of perverted speech. We will be delivered from men who forsake the paths of uprightness. We will be delivered from men who walk in the ways of darkness. We will be delivered from those who rejoice in doing evil. We will be delivered from those who delight in the perverseness of evil. We will be delivered from the men whose paths are crooked and whose ways are devious. We will be delivered from the woman whose words are smooth, but who in reality takes us down into darkness, into death. The woman from whom no one comes back. And that's the way of the ungodly. That's the way of the person who rejects wisdom. That's the way of the ones who choose, having heard the word of God, to turn their back on it. Their way is not filled with light. Their way is not filled with hope. Their way is not filled with joy. Their way is not filled with peace. The world will say to you, come, enjoy the lights. Come and enjoy the tastes. Come and enjoy the sights. All is excitement. All is friendly. We will be your pals. Come and have real enjoyment with us. But the reality of that way is not presented to us by the world. Where that way leads to, where those lights lead to, where those tastes lead to, where those touches lead to, where those engagements lead to, is not a place that the world stands up and says, oh, and by the way, if you come with us, your life will be marked by evil. Your life will be marked by perverseness. Your life will be marked by crookedness. Your life will be marked by deviousness. Your life will be marked by darkness and death. They don't say outside the nightclubs, whatever the name of the nightclub is, this is the way of eternal death below it. Or maybe they do. Because you see, the world has become so cocky in its rebellion against God that they even now count it. They count it something of a fame thing to say, yes, we will lead you in the ways of darkness. They're not ashamed of it. They're not embarrassed by it. Whatever sin is, it never says to us up front and categorically, this is going to lead to your destruction. This is going to lead to your death. This is going to lead to your eternal separation from God. This is going to lead to your wailing and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. This is going to lead to the worm eating at your conscience that you will never, ever be relieved from. This is going to lead to you feeling more and more horrified about your existence and looking around you and feeling more and more horrified about the people who are around you. This is going to lead from your eternal separation from the God who gives you everything that is good to your life. The sun, the rain, the snow, the flowers. They never tell you that it's going to lead to blackness and darkness and the wrath of God. They never tell you that. Those who walk in the ways of wisdom are guarded from all of that. They're guarded from it. We are watched over by discretion. We are watched over by understanding. As we walk in the ways of righteousness, these things do not appeal to us. Why? Why is it that you have no desire to go out on a Saturday night and sit till 2 or 3 o'clock doing the things that the world deems great joy? Why is it that you don't have a desire to sit of an evening on the computer to 2 a.m. looking at things that you shouldn't be putting into your mind and your heart? Why is it that you have no desire to tear strips off another human being with language that is wholly unacceptable to the righteousness and the holiness of God? Why is it that you don't sit and plan ways of hurting and harming individuals, whether physically or emotionally or financially? What is it? Why is there a difference between those who do that and those who don't? The difference is this. The wisdom that we put into our hearts and minds, the understanding that we get, actually doesn't just open a door for us to God. It closes the door for us to the world. As the door to God is opened up through our submitting to God and the ways of God, so discretion, so understanding actually closes that door off. And God by His Spirit says to us, you don't have a desire to do that anymore. You don't have a need to do that anymore. Why would you want to pursue after those things? What benefit is there in chasing after that which is going to lead to your destruction? We don't have to sit and think about it. We don't have to sit and think, am I going to put my coat on a Saturday night or am I not? We don't have to get into the car and sit and think, will I go out tonight and will I go out and find a woman and sleep with another woman? Will I go out and fill my head full of stuff that go out and put stuff into my body that's going to damage my body? We don't have those struggles. Why? Because God, by His Spirit, is there guarding us. He's there protecting us. He is there delivering us from the reality of that. There's nothing in us that is any better from anybody else in this society who goes out and does that. We have it in our heart as much as they have it in their heart. Some of you who lived that life and that way of darkness and that way of destruction before God by His grace brought you from death to life can testify to that. There's nothing different about you than the person you were going out with. You had the same desires, you had the same wants, you had the same cravings. What is it now that has changed? It's because of the gospel. It's because of God's word in your life. It's because the wisdom and the understanding and the light and the work of the Spirit in your life, the work of the Spirit is taking away that. He is delivering you from that. He is causing you to say, I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't yearn for that. And what He's delivering you from is the ways of destruction. What a blessing. What a blessing. You want a benefit? You want a benefit from pursuing after wisdom. What a blessing it is that we are being delivered from the way of the evil. What a blessing it is that we're not wasting our money and our time and our physical bodies pursuing after that which destroys. Destroys. The ways of the evil have never, ever brought benefit. The way of the evil only brings destruction. And how merciful God has been in keeping us from it. Verse 21, the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. The benefit of seeking after wisdom, access to God. Lord, help me. Yes, son. Lord, help me. Yes, daughter. I am here. I will help you. The benefit in this life, you gain understanding of what is right, that which is equitable, that which is just. You gain understanding of the good way of life, the good path of life. What benefit is that to you? It brings you joy. Real joy in your soul. Real contentment. Real pleasure. What benefit is there in life from pursuing after the ways of wisdom? There is deliverance from the way of destruction. Real deliverance. Real practical deliverance from the ways of the perverted, corrupt, depraved, crooked men and women of this world who would seek our destruction. That's the benefit in this life. In a sentence, what is the benefit for eternity? What is the benefit in eternity of leading a life pursuing after the wisdom of God? Listen as I read to you from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Here is the benefits to his life. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. The benefit of pursuing wisdom in life. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Therein is the blessing of eternity. The one who pursues wisdom will stand in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. You pursue wisdom as she cries out. You receive blessing in this life. You have access to God. You have understanding that enables you to live a life that will be marked by joy and pleasure. You are guarded, protected, delivered from the evilness of this world. And in eternity, you will stand in the congregation of the righteous. When the wicked will perish, you will stand numbered among the people of God for all eternity in the presence of the glorified Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You will stand and you will labor with a glorified body, with a body that is endued with the power from heaven, never to sin again. In thought, word, and deed, you will stand in the company of the saints in the midst of God, and you will live for all eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever ad infinitum ever. You will be with God's people in the presence of the Almighty. And you will never perish. You will never perish. The wicked, they will not stand, but you will stand. That's the benefit. That's the real benefit of seeking after wisdom in this life and for all eternity. Amen.